I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, may your words be in the midst of mine, and might all who listen truly hear, with ear and with heart, the truth for the living of this day. Amen. What wearies you? What is wearying us as a community? What feels heavy? What burdens? Questions rolling around in my thoughts as I prepared my message for today. Questions that have me singing words of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," which we heard on piano just a bit ago. Are we weak and heavy laden, burdened with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to our God in prayer. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These familiar words conjure up images of gentle Jesus, and they have been providing Christians comfort ever since he uttered them. But if you were to read some of the verses and chapters surrounding our scripture reading today, which provides these words with some context, you would see that Jesus wasn't really saying them gently. In fact, he was kind of annoyed. But before we get to less than gentle Jesus, I think it's important to understand what a yoke is and what it means to be yoked. Now, I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about and can visualize a yoke. It's sort of a wooden contraption that sits on the necks and backs of two oxen, linking them side by side to help them pull a heavy load. It's where the expression "yoked together" comes from, for obvious reasons. Clearly, Jesus is referring to a yoke metaphorically, though, although that literal reference is still helpful. And metaphorically, a yoke is the set of teachings a philosopher or rabbi gives to his students. Rabbis in the first century taught their students, and then the students figuratively bore the yoke of their teacher as they learned from him. So when Jesus claims that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, the implication is one of comparison, that someone or something else, in this case the Pharisees, is offering a yoke that is hard and a burden that is heavy, while he offers one much easier to carry, that what Christ is asking and offering is life-giving lightness. Now, throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus and the Pharisees are often at odds. There's a little camp song we used to sing that has stuck with me that says that the Pharisees were not fair, you see, which is a good way to remember that this group of people was pretty consistently missing the mark, losing sight of the big picture, and way too worried about all the wrong things, often not being fair in the things they asked of people and condemned people for doing or not doing. They were rule-bound, religious, and highly educated lay leaders whose purpose was to instruct and enforce the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses, which you can find in the Old Testament, they're complicated. But the Pharisees, well aware of Israel's recent history of exile, were afraid that any transgression of the law would cause God to rain down a fiery wrath that would send them all straight back into exile. So to stop the people from breaking the laws of Moses, they added more laws around them in order to keep people from breaking those core laws. I sort of think of the Pharisees as people who keep putting up signs on the door with new notices and rules, until there are so many signs posted all around that all you can see are the things that you can't do, and you really don't know what you could possibly do anymore. Being a rule follower myself, I'd like to think that in some ways, the Pharisees thought they were doing the right thing, And in a sense, they were. It's not that the laws were bad. It's just that they lost sight of the big picture and what was most important, and instead got weighed down and stuck in the weeds. The problem is that these laws of Moses, which were already kind of hard to follow, became even harder with all the new laws added around them. There were fences around fences. It got so that the Pharisees' new laws distorted the original purpose of the old ones. Things got even more confusing and complicated and tedious. They limited how many steps people could take, how much people could interact with their livestock, even what level of assistance people could offer to a troubled neighbor. Now, the funny and kind of ironic thing in all of this is that those laws I just mentioned, there were all these laws in place to keep people from breaking the big one, rest on the Sabbath. So here we meet Jesus challenging the Pharisees to take a step back, to get out of their intellectual heads and view things like a child with open eyes and hearts. He is essentially telling them that the number of laws surrounding the Sabbath have become so burdensome that people are no longer able to Sabbath on the Sabbath. Everyone had become so worried about breaking the laws surrounding rest that they were too distracted and, quite frankly, too scared to actually rest. We might call that missing the forest for the trees, and it's something that hits pretty close to home right now. As we seek to make informed, wise, science-based, and spirit-led decisions about the future of our in-person gatherings as a church body, in light of the severity of COVID-19, we as a staff and leaders of St. John's are having to struggle with a lot of the same things the Pharisees and Jesus are struggling with. When we sit and write down all the rules and considerations and precautions we will have to take to ensure the safety and well-being of all who pass through the doors of St. John's, it can all feel a bit like, well, like we're hanging those signs on the door, probably because we have quite literally had to hang signs on the door. This evaluating and thinking through is tedious and exhausting, and at some points, we found ourselves hitting a wall, aware that we too were lost in the weeds. The truth is, we want people to be together and safe and healthy. But we also don't want to gather together to worship and miss the spirit of worship entirely because we're too focused on measuring feet and inches between us, sanitizing our pews, and making sure that we aren't touching anything or anyone. That doesn't mean that we gather together anyway and throw the rules out the window. The restrictions and the guidelines are there to keep us safe and to protect the most vulnerable among us. But it does mean that just like Jesus is suggesting, we need to focus on what is most important in all of this heaviness. We need to come out of the weeds, climb above the trees, and look at the whole forest. That is, the big picture of our community and the purpose of church. For Jesus, the big purpose, the yoke that he claims as his yoke, is the yoke of being yoked, connected to God and to one another. And I think that's the big purpose of church, too. Loving God and others, offering to God the very best of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, and honoring our neighbor as we honor ourselves. Jesus spends his whole ministry teaching us about what it means to be yoked, interconnected, intertwined, made in the image of God, our neighbor's keeper. Praying for those who we think least deserve our prayers, turning the other cheek, honoring the worth, the health, the well-being of all people, especially the least of these, the most vulnerable among us. For now, being yoked looks like worshiping from home, because that is the best way we can not make the same mistake as the Pharisees in missing the mark, losing sight of the big picture, and being too worried about all the wrong things, missing the rest in the midst of rest, or in our case, missing the worship in the midst of worship. Okay, so maybe you're thinking what I'm thinking. Jesus, what exactly about this is easy and light? I think we are more aware now than ever before that living as people of faith and living in community is a gift, but it is not always easy. The stakes are high and the work is hard. Being yoked to God and to one another means that we've got a lot to consider other than ourselves, and it means we are constantly having to compromise, make sacrifices, go back to the drawing board, and are forever trying to find our balance. But being yoked and being aware of who we're yoked to also means that we are not carrying anything by ourselves, ever. And luckily, the yoke of Christ stretches way beyond 6 feet. In fact, it connects us in all times and in all places. The weight of the world is pretty heavy right now, no doubt. And Christ's yoke holds us to high standards and asks us to dig deep. But that yoke is lightened by those to whom and with whom we are yoked. That yoke is lightened by grace, by forgiveness, by hope, by the spirit of community that Christ has inspired and instilled in us from the very beginning. When we yoke ourselves to ourselves, to the world around us, to the latest and greatest, to the voices of shame and guilt and anxiety and fear and hatred, we will find ourselves paralyzed by the weight every time. Jesus doesn't promise that putting on his yoke will suddenly make all of that other heavy stuff disappear, but he does promise that all of it will feel lighter, because the weight of the world, the weight of whatever it is we are carrying, isn't being carried alone. It is being spread out, dispersed across the shoulders and hands and hearts and minds of those around us and close to us. And most importantly, it is, and we are, being held in God's hands, in the loving arms of Christ. The last line of that verse from What a Friend We Have in Jesus includes these words: Jesus' arms will take and shield you. You will find a solace there. My friends, you are, we are, carried, held, helped, yoked. In the weeds, in the trees, on the road, going the mile and bearing the load. Solace, rest, the peace, the yoke of Christ is ours. May it be so this day and in all the days ahead. Amen.